You already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi folks, Bob Dunlap, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. If you've served in the active duty of the armed forces and are impaired because of an accident, injury, or exposure to hazardous substance, you may be eligible for compensation from the Department of Veterans Affairs. The compensation program is your country's way of honoring your service and sacrifice by providing financial assistance to bridge the gap between what you are able to earn now and what you could have earned if you were not impaired. VA compensation claims could be as simple as a hearing loss claim to a very complex muscular, skeletal, or neurological disorder. Be wary of individuals who offer assistance with your VA claims, especially those who ask you to pay for VA claims assistance. Your Shasta County Veterans Service Office is here to help. We're accredited, and there's never a charge for our services. For more information on how we can help, please call us at 225-5616.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
By me.
And me.
And us.
Mary's great-grandsons, Vincent Luigi here, celebrating Mary's Pizza Shack's 55th anniversary with a radio spot made by 55...
friends, family,
and kids.
From all the way back in 1959, when Mary started the first shack in Sonoma Valley.
Today, there are 19 shacks, from Walnut Creek,
where kids make their own pizzas,
to Santa Rosa.
With the meatballs as big as your head.
And every one of them makes Mary's legendary homemade pizzas, pastas, and salads with our secret family recipes.
Just like Mary did back in 1959.
I've been coming to the shack since before you were born.
Whoa, how old are you?
That's not an appropriate question.
Thanks to everyone for 55 great years.
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
A beauty from South Alabama. Her daddy had a heart like a 9-pound hammer. Think he even did a little time in the slammer. What was I thinking? She snuck out one night and met me by the front gate. Her daddy came out waving that 12-gauge. We tore out the drive, he peppered my tailgate. What was I thinking? Oh, I knew there'd be hell to pay, but that crossed my mind a little too late. 'Cause I was thinking about a little tank top sitting right there in the middle by me. I was thinking about a long kiss, man. Just gotta get going with a knife might be. I know what I was feeling, but what was I thinking?
Well, good morning,
good
everybody.
Good morning.
So what are we going to call it? Are we going to call this WTF with Linda in red?
I guess so for the moment, because we don't have anything else to call it this morning. For all the folks out there, we're in the studio with Bob. How you doing this morning, Bob?
Great.
Good.
So if I can find my... am I on? Yeah.
Yeah, you're on.
Okay. I forgot the processing is all funky on this... producer microphone, so forgive me. But anyway, to answer your question, I'm great. How are both of you?
We're doing great.
Good. Busy, yeah. As always.
Yep. And this is new. We are actually going to be on Sunday mornings from 8 to 9, me and Robert Red.
Yep.
For the next few weeks. And then State of...
Jefferson State of Mind will be coming over right around the 1st of December. And we'll be leaving our Saturday 8 to 9 time slot to go to Sunday 8 to 9. I guess, unfortunately, we the people decided no longer to continue on with their show. So until we can get that transfer made over, you get stuck with Linda and I kind of spitballing it at you, local politics.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a whole lot of different things over the next few weeks. And then from 9 to 11, it'll be Mark and me. With Sovereign Minds, so stay tuned. So we'll have 3 hours of being able to get good information out there. And we do have a guest this morning. I think she's going to be in about 8:15, not sure. But it is Christian Schrader, one of our new city council people.
Yeah, ask her some good questions and get some things. And I'd kind of like to ask her a couple things kind of outside of the campaign questions. The campaign's over, you know, so instead of, you know, the whole getting to know you bit and what do you think about this and, you know, ask her some questions about, well, you know, what do you do now?
Yeah. Where do you start and where do you go from here? I think that our guest might arrive. But before we get to our guest, I do want to give a shout out to one of my ladies out there. We were actually at the parade and I don't like to say shout out, but it is a shout out. We were at the parade yesterday and she had an incident and we made a trip to the hospital and I hope she's doing good and we'll miss her.
Yeah, that's for sure. She doesn't need to be doing that.
Yeah, I know. No. So we didn't get to see the parade, but I heard that the Veterans Parade was awesome out there.
It was. It was a good show.
Good.
It definitely was. My kids were out there, had a blast with it, and you know all the MIAP riders and everything, and they got their little
rubber duckies
and survival bracelets, and they had a pretty good time.
Yeah. Well, we were with MIAP yesterday, and we will be with them again today. Actually, there's a toy run that we do in Anderson today, so about 200 bikes will be blocking traffic for. So that's always a lot of fun if you want to come join us there this afternoon at Anderson River Park. So, yeah, it's a great time.
A little rolling thunder. I'd go, but State of Jefferson Road Team's got to load up and go down to Maxwell for a town hall down there at 2 o'clock today at Maxwell Inn. So that's what we get to do with our afternoon.
Always something.
Well, it's always fun to meet new people and, you know, kind of watch people listen what the State of Jefferson is for the first time and watch the light bulb go off. Because there's a lot of misinformation out there and a lot of people, you say the, you know, State of Jefferson and they go, oh, blah, blah, blah. And you go, oh, really? Well, why do you have that idea?
Right.
And then once you really explain the process and what we're really up to, that it's about representation, you actually see the light go off behind their eyes and they go, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, they go, oh, I never thought of that piece of it.
Yeah. So that's what we'll be doing this afternoon. Always a good time.
Yeah. And we want to remind people that tomorrow at the Reading Tea Party at 6 p.m. we're having a potluck and a movie night at 2570 South Bonnie View.
Yeah, it'll be a nice change from all the politicking.
Yes, and actually I have a speaker coming in that's going to give us a little bit of a history way back when about veterans and stuff. He's got a nice twist on it, so really good story that he's going to be talking about,
nice.
About the raising of the flag and stuff way back when.
That'd be fantastic.
So, yeah, so it'd be great. Our guest is in the studio, so I guess maybe we'll go to a break, huh, Bob, and come back with our guest. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is Community Radio for the North State.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, your talk radio station. On Monday, November 10th, the Marine Corps birthday, we will be down at Crown Motors on a remote talking to our Marines from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and, of course, Iraqi freedom. We'll be celebrating the Marine Corps birthday, but also those men and women who have served in the Marine Corps. All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Join us at Crown Motors Monday morning.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay and neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us Eastside Road off of 273.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Hey folks, you know where your swap and sell is? It's right here every Saturday morning with Ernie and Dave at 7 to 8 on KCNR.
Moving sales, estate sales, we just talk about everything. Swap and sell with Ernie and Dave is what you need to get your Saturday off to a great start. Entertainment for the whole family.
Almost.
Swap and sell every Saturday, 7 to 8.
Right here on KCNR.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
And we're back.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. We've got Kristen Schrader here, newly elected to the city council.
Good morning.
Oh,
now she's on.
Oh, good morning.
There she is. So can we just, want to throw out there, congratulations on your victory for city council.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And I thought it was a well-run race. I think that you came across as very sincere and very forthright with a lot of people. I think that you expressed your ideas and your thoughts and capabilities very clearly.
Thank you very much. It was a lot of work. I can share that with you. We had, seven or eight community forums. We had many different venues. It is a challenge, and we want to try and answer questions as well as we can and express ourselves. And it's not easy to do sometimes in a minute or 90 seconds. But thank you.
Yeah, I know from some people that I know that your message managed to reach across to, kind of both sides of the contest in a lot of ways. And I think a lot of that had to do with just your willingness to be very upfront and sincere about who you are.
Oh, thank you.
It was great. I know there was a couple times, like at the Reading Tea Party on that forum, that you guys kind of got some really hard questions, and you dealt with it really well up there. We were impressed by that.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Well, in a lot of ways, Reading loves its politics, especially its local politics.
It's very important to me because it's said at the national level, but all politics is local, and it really means. And the reason I ran for city council was I feel like with the experience I have in working in our community, I can help look at what some of the problems are and find and be open to finding solutions. And that's kind of how I've been doing a lot of the community work I've been doing and how I view my role as a school board member.
Good.
Oh, yeah. Nice. So, do you have a question for her, or you want to?
So, day one, orientation, everything's done, and it's actually the real first day of business for the new city council. What's the first thing you guys tackle?
Oh, good question. We have orientation with the city manager next week, just probably to help give us an overview of what does happen on the first day. We are sworn in on December 2nd, which is the first meeting of December, the first and the third Tuesdays. And the agendas are available the Thursday before, so I'll get the agenda and see what's on the agenda. All the things that was discussed during the campaign and what I'm seeing even now and next week with the rollout of the Safe City Project ideas, I think one of the first actions should be how do we take care of and prioritize our needs for public safety. So I'm hoping we get right to work, that there isn't really any time to have to talk about much else than the highest priorities of our community.
Yeah, I think most Readingites would agree with that, the crime rate, especially with Prop 47 passing in California and more prisoners headed back this way, that crime definitely needs to be addressed. How do we do that?
Well, I'm very anxious to see what the 10 ideas are that the Safe City Project came up with. Because one of the ways that I think we should be looking at it is what are the priorities that our staff, the chief of police, fire chief, what do they identify as the priorities? Chief Paletti did back about 6 weeks ago a course of action plan. He laid out some ideas. But I like to look at what other communities are doing with the same issues and same problems that we have. Looking at, restricting people from giving food or money through a car, to someone in a median. I never even knew that was even an option. So we look at some things other communities are doing, but we really need to prioritize. Obviously, we need to find money since Proposition F did not pass, Measure F did not pass. So first we have to prioritize what are the most important needs, what are the cost of those needs, and what funds are available at the city from what sources we can transfer them to the public safety needs.
Okay. Well, I know the sheriff has said a lot of times one of the biggest roadblocks, one of the biggest log jams is the fact that we cannot prosecute fast enough because of reductions to our court system. Okay. Is there anything that the city of Reading could do, perhaps, setting up a justice of the peace or something like that to handle smaller municipal infractions?
I have, that would be a good question that I never even thought of, We do hear about the, and I did visit the jail during the campaign. I visited the jail. I visited the day reporting center to see how they process, you know, what the programs are offered for the AB 109 offenders. So I know there's, it's a very detailed, very complex process for, you know, the whole public safety, whole, enforcement system. So, I think everything should be on the table. You know, what can work, but what are the costs, you know, and what are the benefits that we get from it? And I also, you know, that's a good point of raising that we need to work with the county, because the city is one part of the process, mm-hmm. and the county incarcerates and, you know, is responsible for the jail. So, and then we have the court system, which is a whole nother system.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, making sure we ask the right questions, I think that's the most important thing. And what are the options?
And the public safety forum, that is Thursday, correct?
Yes, at the Civic Auditorium.
Civic Auditorium.
What time is that?
I think it starts at 5:30, and it starts with an exhibition.
Exhibition?
Of people bringing ideas and products mm-hmm. that all relate to public safety, and then it's followed. I'm guessing I should know at 7 o'clock with the presentation by the Safe City Project. Okay. They're being very. We don't know what their points are going to be, but they say they have 10 ideas.
I got a feeling it's going to be packed.
I bet it is.
I think there's going to be a lot of people there.
Well, and that's good. We want a lot of involvement. We want people to realize what we can do ourselves personally. Our community is looking at, our neighborhoods looking at. Restarting our neighborhood watch program. So what can we do personally and what can we help others do and how, you know, how can we work together better?
Yeah, I think that, you know, getting the neighborhoods and the people in your neighborhood involved is a very important thing. I remember when I was a kid in the Bay Area, we had what they called block parents. Mm. And they put signs in the window. So the kids knew that when you were going to and from school or at any time, if something happened and you got scared or you weren't sure, you could run to that house and those people would take you in and it was a safe place to go. And I'd like to see something like that come back, maybe not along that lines because you would have to vet a lot of people, but something so that, you know, the community knows where their safe zones are, so to speak, you know.
Right.
Well, that's. I think a lot of that is just the loss due to mobile America and digital America. Is we've lost our neighborhoods in a lot of ways. I mean, how many people even really know who their neighbors are? I mean, there's some people out there that do, but a lot of people, I bet you, live in neighborhoods and don't know who is in their neighborhood or who their neighbors are. And you know, maybe we need to bring back a little bit of that old fashioned. Let's have the block party. Let's do the barbecue, and you know.
Right.
Get to know each other again.
But, yeah, again, it's getting people involved.
Right.
Like
yeah.
Maybe this Thursday night is a good thing for people to come out and see who else is involved and what's going on and what they might be able to do in their neighborhood.
Well, I think one of the presentations in the earlier section is on Jason Schroeder will be there to talk about how Stand Up Reading and how you can implement neighborhood watch programs.
Yeah, that'd be a good thing. So, any pet projects of yours? Anything that's near and dear to your heart that you would like to look on? You know, and you were saying earlier maybe there's some things that you would like to look at, but there's a lot of work to get done first. But
well, there is. I think we need to focus on the I say prioritization of public safety is the first. But you know, part of public safety, and I think what we need to look at is the homeless issue. I held a forum on August 5th during the campaign to highlight and create a greater awareness about homelessness. And we really need to do a strategic plan where we gather as many people as we can in the community that are working on the issues so that we don't overlap and we don't have gaps in services. So I think that's a project I think that's part of public safety, but I'm really interested in wanting to, you know, find a solution for that. Other communities have done wonderful things. You know, because they're implementing plans. They're, you know, halfway in a 10-year plan, and we really need to start a more comprehensive plan for homelessness. There are other issues, like you brought up about River Trail, or I think the projects I would like to see in addition to homeless would be development of downtown. You know, after we do the update the specific plan for downtown after the plan for the traffic study is done. And really look at what are our options, what are our opportunities. Look at, I drive by that old garage, the oldest garage downtown, the parking structure rather, that really needs to be, something needs to be done pretty soon. And I think those are prime areas that can be developed for residential, business, and parking. So we do all three instead of just the parking. So, and then possibly look at Park Marina as a way of, you know, enhancing, improving, and providing economic growth for our community.
Okay. You know, but again, we're facing issues like a downtown revitalization would be fantastic, but then you have some issues with the residents of downtown. You have that whole strip of transient hotels there through Market and Pine, and a lot of those people filter over, and I would, in my opinion, I don't think it really helps generate a friendly business atmosphere.
Well, that's why I think we need to look at planning. We need to look at code enforcement. The city just doubled the size of the code enforcement staff last week with adding two more people, so we have four now. Sure. So we can prioritize and look at how we can better help our downtown areas with code enforcement. So we probably need to spend some time thinking about what's the most important thing and what are the costs and what are the priorities. So we can have a safe city and that's economically productive for as many community members as possible.
I think we're going to have to go to a break. But before we go to a break, I have a question in the chat room that says they want to know how you feel about Proposition 47. So when we come back, maybe we can hit on that. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have four full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I would like to thank all of our customers who pay their bills on time. The delivery drivers are back from the fires and filling a lot of kerosene tanks, so don't wait till winter. Kathy has a lot of 1 gallon to 2.5 gallon propane bottles for all the campers and hunters. They're a lot easier to handle. We are doing a lot more wet hosing on construction sites. For those who don't want to worry about fuel on site, give Danny a call. Kathy and Johnny still have one or two used heaters left. They're going quick. If you need a new gauge or a filter on your kerosene tank, be sure to let us know and we'll bring one out with your next delivery. Northern Lights Energy, Corning, Weaverville, and Redding. Family owned, small business, and great people. Not a lot of answering machines. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came.
KCNR WCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, humiliation, obligation to my nation.
And we're back. I almost felt like I was on Soul Train or something, you know. If you remember, Bob probably remembers Soul Train.
But you got to get into the good stuff. You got to find that good, you know. After a while, if you just listen to the hits, you get kind of burned out on them. They're not that great anymore.
That's true.
Channeling Don Cornelius.
Yeah,
there you go. So we're back, and in the studio, we have Christian Schrader with us, one of the new city council people.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
And before we went to break, we had a question about Prop 47. So if you want to hit on that a little bit, that would be great.
Well, I voted against it. I was not in favor of Prop 47. As I understood it, it was very similar to having prisoners released and returned to the communities they were sentenced them. So we do not need any more offenders return to our community because we don't have the jail space or we don't have, you know, it's a struggle. So we'll have to wait and see what the process and the implementation program looks like.
Yeah.
It does put a more pressure on our community. And that's another part of the evaluation we'll need to do right away with the sheriff's department and the county and the city of Reading.
What is your feeling on volunteers for public safety?
Oh, I think there's so much more information that we need to gather from even this last week when the city council got an update about the the chief working with one of the council members. So I have to wait and see what the plan is. There was just, for me, a lot of questions I had after reading the report that was presented to the city council last time. So main thing is the cost. One of the proposals, or the proposal that was presented at the council meeting, was $181,000 just in startup costs, an additional $100,000 annually. That's a big...
That's a big chunk of
big
money.
Big price tag, and then there was not a discussion about...
Those are expensive volunteers.
Well, the whole program, there was a lot of layers and a lot of details that weren't clearly vetted out that in that report. So I'd have to see a lot more information. I do support many of the ways that the volunteers are currently being used in the police department. I'm concerned about any more work outside and in vehicles. I think that we need to be concerned about liability and, you know, workers' comp and that kind of stuff, even for volunteers. So there's a lot more information we need to gather before I could even say how I would.
And I had one that I promised that I would ask. What is your feelings on the RPD officers wearing body cams?
Well, I thought they were moving forward with that.
So, I believe they are.
Yeah, I think from what I've seen, the police chief was proposing that. Mm-hmm. But again, it's another area where it's very technical in nature, that there needs to be a lot of training. And so I'm so far with what I can see, that it looks like it's a positive, but there needs to be a lot of training and, implementation is going to take a while. It's not something you just put on your body and then you're ready to roll.
Okay, I'm not up on this. So they want to do body camera on each officer?
Mm-hmm. While they're out on duty, they want to have a body cam on each officer. And really, it works kind of both ways. And Mayor Bassetti actually came up with a pretty good idea on this, on being able to purchase the equipment through asset forfeiture. Mm-hmm. So it's not actually costing the citizens really anything, just people that have been convicted of a crime and, you know, have had the ill gains that they be got from those crimes taken away from them. But being able to, at no cost, protect also our officers and our citizens, because we get a lot of complaints in the city of Reading. They get a lot of complaints of all kinds of different things. And the camera helps to protect the officer because everybody can see exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it also happens to protect the citizen from any abuses from our police department. So it works both ways, and it kind of covers everybody.
I thought that they had moved forward, that the city approved that. And it, I think there's a whole process where they have to find the right equipment for the right price and then get the training that's needed.
Well, I know that there were some issues about how long do they have to store the videos. You know, is there like an expiration date on them where they can throw them out, or, you know, that a defendant can subpoena them for whatever reason. So I know there were some of those questions. And I had heard and waiting to hear back from a member of the policemen's union, but I'd heard that the policemen's union was kind of resistant to it.
You know, I in the whole course of the campaign, that was not one of those things that was high, really. I talked a lot about. Yeah. But, we need to hear what their concerns are. If there are concerns, because it needs to work properly. If we're going to have it, we want it to work properly. So I think main thing is to have the right training, because there are some probably benefits for both. There are benefits for both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could say that. Like you were talking, whether it's the placement or the citizen.
Well,
I mean, certain things happen, and not everybody views things the same way. Not saying one person's right or one person's wrong, but what I see and what you see may not be exactly the same.
That's absolutely true. And, you know, you get hit with – when an officer gets accused of something, depending on what it is, a lot of times that officer has to come off duty until that's resolved. So there's one less cop on the street, usually over what's a fraudulent claim, because somebody doesn't like getting arrested for breaking the law. And if we can expedite that process and keep our cops on the street and keep our cops safe from false accusations like that, that's hugely helpful too.
Yeah, and I was going to say with that, with having the fraudulent charges brought against them, sometimes even everyday citizens, if that happens, you're kind of black marked, whether you're guilty or not, or found not guilty. People remember that sometimes, and that can be a really bad thing if you have nothing to back it up with, nothing to show. You know, so.
Yeah, it works both ways.
Could be a good thing. So, what else would you like to touch upon while we have you in the studio?
Oh my gosh, we talked about the most important things. What you guys didn't ask was about unfunded liabilities, pensions, and we have those are huge numbers. And, you know, just like the city council has been working on in the past, is negotiating with each of the unions and looking for and finding the funds that they need in the budget to pay for the contribution, the employer contribution. So I think it's just a process that I'm familiar with my school board work. And it is an important need for our community, and we need to honor the contracts and the commitments we previously made, but also look forward to the future on what we can afford and find the balance.
Yeah, there is definite concern over pensions. I know a meeting that myself and Kayla Brown had with Chief Paletti some months ago, he said one of his biggest concerns was he wasn't going to be able to hire new officers in 4 to 5 years because we're going to be paying the retirement on other officers. That's going to eat a bulk of the budget.
Well, I haven't seen those. I haven't seen the projections out that far, but it is a large financial obligation, and we need to approach it with the best resources, you know, the best amount of thoughts.
Yeah, there's got to be a sweet spot somewhere.
Well, I think we have to find the balance, because we need to support quality employees for the services that are needed for our citizens, and we need to identify the funds that we can to pay for the services and pay for the employees and the retirement.
Yeah. Are you up on what happened in Stockton with CalPERS and CalSTRS and all of that?
A little bit. But I can't speak to that because I wasn't really focused on what happened in Stockton. But I think the judge approved the bankruptcy plan.
Well,
is that it?
It did. But before that, they set a precedent that a local municipality in a bankruptcy declaration can actually go into their municipal employees' CalPERS and basically raid their pension fund to pay for their bankruptcy. And not only that, but a municipality can declare bankruptcy specifically to default on CalPERS payments.
Well, you know, I can guess why I probably didn't focus too much on that, because I think city of Reading is in much better financial shape than Stockton was. And, you know, it's unfortunate for the people in Stockton. You know, they're employees and, you know, the citizens. But, and it's good to know what all the other things are out there that affect, could affect the city with CalPERS, which is a state program. You know, that's, we need to be aware. But I think in our community, we are in much better financial shape. Mm-hmm. Not the best we could be in because of the economy, but it's, we're starting to see some growth locally in the economy that's going to help it bring more revenue to the city.
Yeah, and how do we do that? How do we get jobs back in Reading?
Well, that's another good question.
Yeah.
That would take a whole long time. But, I think what I've seen is there are pockets of improvements. We have programs, smaller programs in our community through organizations to help entrepreneurs, you know, with financial resources or training. But we probably need to look at that in a more global way in our community. You know, reach out to all the organizations that work on economic development. What are their ideas? Reach out to the county, see what's, you know, because we're all in this together, really, in this small, you know, kind of a small region. So I'm hoping that we have a bigger, more dialogue with more people at the table to talk about what some of the ideas are. You know, our city, I want our city to be welcoming to building businesses expanding locally and new businesses coming in.
Yeah, and that's one of the best things that you can do to help reduce crime is grow the economy, because when there's jobs, you have less crime.
The people are happier when they have a job instead of being out on the corner, but... Yeah. It's very hard in this economy to make growth.
Well, that's why my uncle always told me buy a bar, because you're going to do good when times are good and you're going to do really good when times are bad. So,
well, there's a lot of in between there, too, though, with that, you know. So,
well, we covered a lot of issues this morning, didn't we?
I do have a person in the chat room made a comment that the city of Reading just made a list of one of the cities that is likely to go bankrupt in the state of California. And I'm trying to find out where the list came from and that information. But just to let you know, they were given passing that information along.
I could be wrong on that. But
an article posted by Stephen Greenhunt. I don't know. I'll have to research that. But just FYI. Anyway.
And we have like a 2.3% chance of default. I think the highest on the list was Atwater at 4.7% chance of default, something like that.
Well, I think our city, the city council, and the staff, the administration have done a really good job in tough economic times to mm-hmm. maintain the services that we need. We have the best utility service. But we have a lot of vacancies. But overall, I visited with all of the department directors during my campaign, and I'm very impressed. You know, many of them have more than one department they're overseeing. So I think we've done a lot with a small number of resources. Not to say we can't do better. You know, always in my work and as our school board member, we tried to make surgical cuts. You know, not eliminate positions. We looked at right sizing things. So I think going forward, we can, you know, do the best, continue the good work that we've already seen with the city council and staff.
And there's the other issues with REU. Obviously, we're going to have issues with the power plant because of CARB regulations and. We're not allowed to use the dam as part of the formula for our green energy production that we're required under CARB. So we have issues with that. And then the big elephant in the room is the pilot lawsuit that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have anything to...
I think we're waiting to hear back from the Court of Appeals. Is that it? The latest court decision.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to wait to see what, get more information about it. But I think it's right now it's in the hands of the judicial system. So we have to wait.
And that's what, $24 million, I think, if that lawsuit's granted, and $5 million out of the budget for the city of Reading.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. It is.
A big chunk of change there.
Especially mm-hmm. when 73 cents out of every dollar is going towards pensions. And then you take a $5 million hit to the budget. That's going to.
Well, yeah, and we know at the rate that we're going that the funds aren't going to be available a few years down the road. So, and then be hit like that, definitely.
Yeah, and you know the loss of investment on the power plant that REU owns, because they can no longer qualify that energy coming into California because the plant's not CARB compliant.
I'm going to have to get more information. I did not do the, you know, the research on that right now. So yeah, I wouldn't be able to share.
Well, they did a really good job of long-term planning on that, and then California kind of changed the rules and upset the apple cart on it.
Which can happen, we know, with many different areas.
Yeah. I think we need to go to our last break, and then we'll come back. If you have any comments or questions for Christian, you can give her a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Bye.
Bearers is a free veteran support group for Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. Still dealing with PTSD? Still feeling misunderstood? Missing the camaraderie? Issues with VA paperwork? These are just a few of the issues we can talk about in our group. Crossbearers meets every Wednesday at 7 p.m. at Neighborhood Church in Reading. For more information, contact Rob Garcia at 530-221-5683. Crossbearers, a group for veterans, run by veterans.
The fall season celebration continues at Wind River Resort and Casino.
We are giving away cool, crisp cash all month long.
Plus, you could win a brand new Honda Civic from Crown Motors of Reading.
Come down and play the Honda Harvest Swipe to Win promotion.
Swipe your free River Club card and you could win free entries.
Plus, earn entries all month long for your chance to win a brand new car.
This sleek, bold, and aggressive car with style, performance, and luxury awaits you.
Win cash every Thursday at 7 p.m.
Every 200 points gets you an entry.
Double entries on Mondays and Wednesdays.
Swipe to win, play to win, stay to win.
Swipe for your chance to win prizes.
Plus, we always have new games just waiting to hit the jackpot.
It's easy. Spin the reels on your favorite slot machine
or swipe your free River Club card daily.
Remember, more games, more ways to win, more fun.
Final drawing is on Thursday, November 27th at 7 p.m.
where you could win a 2014 Honda Civic.
We are a 100% non-smoking casino.
For details, log on to winriver.com.
It's better on the river.
Going shopping?
Explore the choices.
And shop Reading.
Hello, this is Frank Strazzarino, president of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce. Did you know that when you buy goods and services in Reading, you are supporting a local business, its owner, and employees in these tough economic times, and your tax dollars give us better police and fire protection, maintain our roads, parks, and trail system, and contribute to our Reading quality of life.
Going shopping?
Explore the choices.
And shop Reading.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
But you see, the winner takes it all. The winner takes it all.
And we're back. Almost makes you want to go out and run around the block or something with that music.
Well, it really makes me wonder how many disco velour suits are hanging in Bob's closet.
I am a product of the 70s.
I had a feeling.
Too much information sometimes comes out. So, with that, we have a caller on the line. Gary from Reading, are you there?
Too much information.
I'm here.
Hey, Gary, do you have a question or comment for...
Yes, I do. Thank you very much for taking my call, and congratulations, Kristen, on your next new endeavor.
Thank you very much.
And also want to thank you for your service. I believe you mentioned that you run a high school board.
Yes.
Is that correct?
For the last 8 years, yes, I have.
Last 8 years?
Yes.
And my memory serves me right, you were a strong advocate for Common Core. Is that right?
Well, I am an advocate because I have been involved in the training and researched and have been aware of what the purpose and the goals are for Common Core.
Okay, because the connection with that, you mentioned regarding the subject of the cop cameras, that they need adequate training. Yet, regarding Common Core in the high school district, the math teachers revolted against the math book have been only used 1 year, and the school district had to buy a whole new set just this last year. And as far as training, at least two training sessions I know were abysmal failures, and nothing was done. So I hope your idea of training will be better than that when on the city council. And regarding the research on Common Core, I hope your research changes for problems regarding the city, because there is a big swing against Common Core, not only in Reading, but nationwide, because the research, there was no research done regarding Common Core before it was implemented and imposed on the students. Well, so I hope your idea of research changes. And one other thing, regarding the First Amendment, I'm afraid you will be, based on experience that in the high school district, Francie Sullivan and you will be not in favor of the First Amendment.
We had a discussion about that this morning, and Kristen said she's all for revisiting it and possibly moving public comment right back to the front of the meeting.
Well, the city
Francie, she does not like disagreement, as she stated more than once on the school board. That doesn't bode well, methinkest.
Well,
I think I've said enough. I'll take your answers off the air. But again, best of luck.
All right. Thank you for calling in, Gary.
I'll try to tackle some of what I recall Gary's questions were comments.
In the 2 minutes we have left.
I'll try and do it in, less than that, because you might want to have some closing comments. With regard to Common Core, I'll just say that I think the most important thing is we locally decide on the curriculum for our programs for our students, and we always try to strive to get the best curriculum so it makes our students the best educated and prepared for the global market out there. The switching back to, I don't like to generalize about myself, and label what people's ideas and thoughts are. So I don't think Gary was really trying to do that, but as far as the First Amendment or other issues, I think we take every issue and do the proper evaluation and research and thoroughly evaluate what the choices are. So when it comes to First Amendment or anything, that's how we should proceed with all issues. As far as the open forum time period for the city council, when they changed it last year, they said it should be brought back to the new council and decision made whether to keep it at the end or move it to the beginning. And I certainly had said on the campaign that I'm interested in revisiting that.
Yeah. So, and just a quick question. How many schools are within the purview of Reading City Council that Common Core would be a question for city council member?
Oh, it's not really for city. Well, it isn't for city council at all. Thank you. It's local school boards, and it's local control of local school boards that make decisions about curriculum that we try to find the best for each of our programs for our students.
Yeah. Well, we're winding down this hour, and we want to thank you for coming in and taking the tough questions and trying to answer them.
Well, thank you for having
me. With us. Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
We look forward to dealing with you for the next 4 years.
Thank you very much.
All right. So this is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State. Stay tuned, and I'll be Mark Kent and myself for Sovereign Minds.
Yep. Have a good one.
Keep on working. Long's my two hands are fit to use. I'll drink my beer in a tavern, sing a little bit of these working man blues. I'll keep my...
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. President Obama says he intends to go ahead and issue an order easing the threat against deportation for immigrants in the country illegally. This despite warnings from Republicans like Senator John Barrasso.
I'm hoping that cooler heads at the White House can prevail upon the president to say, look, if you want to have a good, constructive final 2 years of your presidency, don't do this now. Wait until the new Congress is sworn in.
He was a guest on Fox News today. Mr. Obama countered on CBS TV's Face the Nation by saying if he goes ahead with his executive order, there would still be room for Congress to pass immigration legislation. The president, meantime, is off to China today, first stop on a three-nation trip. Secretary of State Kerry says getting America's ties with China right is a top administration priority.
The U.S.-China relationship is the most consequential in the world today, period. And it will do much to determine the shape of the 21st century.
Meanwhile, the U.S. is insisting that the secret mission by its top intelligence official to secure the release of two Americans from captivity in North Korea Saturday was not intended, quote, to pursue any other diplomatic openings. The primary mission ended with hugs from family members for Kenneth Bay and Matthew Miller last night when their plane landed at a Washington State military base. Still no arrests in the shooting death of a 5-year-old girl who was sitting on her grandfather's lap in Milwaukee when an apparent random bullet killed her. Authorities and the girl's family have issued a plea for anyone with information to come forward. Police say they've received many good tips and do not believe the girl's family was in any way targeted. Nissan is joining the recall airbag parade. More than 52,000 Nissan vehicles being called back for passenger airbags that can go off with too much force and send shards of metal into the passenger compartment. They all come from the troubled Takata company. This is SRN News.
Logo 6, the most advanced Bible study software, is now available. Logo 6 offers new Bible study tools and interactive media that will dramatically change the way Christians study the Word. Logo 6 empowers Christians to study the Bible's background, explore Greek and Hebrew, visualize the biblical world, and make new and exciting discoveries. Pastors will benefit from innovative tools like visual copy and cultural concepts to create engaging presentations. Logos is the easy-to-use study tool Tim Keller, Tony Evans, Matt Chandler, and Beth Moore depend on for their sermon and writing prep. With Logos, they spend less time searching and more time discovering. Logos Bible software has grown from a couple of programmers in a basement over 20 years ago into the largest developer of Bible study software and a worldwide leader in multilingual electronic publishing. See the amazing new Logo 6. Visit logos.com. That's logos.com.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel led celebrations today marking the 25th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall, calling it an example of the human yearning for freedom and honoring those who helped bring down the barrier that for 28 years symbolized the Cold War. The fall of the wall has shown us that dreams can come true, Merkel said in the main memorial site for the wall on Bernerstrasse. Nothing has to stay the way it is, however big the hurdles may be. She noted the important example set by the democracy movements in Poland, Czechoslovakia, and Hungary. Afghan authorities are investigating how a suicide bomber was able to strike deep inside the heavily guarded police headquarters in central Kabul today in an apparent attempt to assassinate the city's chief of police. The Taliban bomber's ability to gain passageway through heavy security and make his way to within yards of General Mohammad Zahir's office has revived concerns insurgents have penetrated Afghan security and intelligence forces. This is SRN News. Fighting Ebola may be as easy as clicking a button.
Facebook says it is teaming up with the nonprofit group NetHope to add a button to the social networking site that will make it easier for users to donate to charities fighting the disease. In the coming week, users will see the option to donate to three nonprofit groups fighting Ebola. For all the attention and worry it has received here in the U.S., Ebola has devastated parts of West Africa, where nearly 5,000 have died.
SRN's Gordon Griffin reporting. Thanksgiving is still weeks away, but the U.S. Capitol Christmas tree is already on its way here to Washington, D.C. The 88-foot-tall white spruce was cut down in northern Minnesota on October 29th and began its journey east. The tree is slated to travel down Interstate 94 in Wisconsin tomorrow. It's due to come here on November 21st. People can track the tree's daily progress at CapitolChristmasTree.com. This is SRN News.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a wall, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up.
Fed
got
up.
Our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host once again. We would like to thank all of the people in the North State who support us. We're on KCNR 1460 here. Today is Sunday, November 9th, 2014.
Almost.
14. We're having a guest later on in the show. We'll go over that. That'll be Frank Gallagher, I believe.
Yes, it is.
I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Bob Martin, our trusted soundboard operator and all-around great guy.
Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. We're streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com, or you can call in at 530-605-4567. That's 530-605-4567. We encourage you to call in if you have any questions or concerns. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well, and you can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Let's see, Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. at Bonneview, South
Destiny.
Bonneview.
Destiny Fellowship. I know
absolutely.
That's a hard one.
And we're going to have a veteran celebration, I guess.
We are. We are going to do a veterans potluck, and I have a speaker coming in for a little bit. We'll be showing some pictures of some veterans, and then a movie, America.
America by Dinesh D'Souza. How do you say his name again? Dinesh D'Souza?
D'Souza.
D'Souza. Dinesh.
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 Can you say it? Dinesh.
So like that's like the Kanish. He's the Kanish D'Souza.
Yeah, you go.
So good movie.
It's
saw
an
it before.
Excellent movie.
Yeah, very good.
There's a lot of good information in it that you can pick up even if you thought you knew everything.
Everybody needs to get involved in the Tea Party, the limited government, fiscal responsibility, and start following the Constitution. The Tea Party's credibility is starting to get more and more despite the naysayers because, gosh, they were right.
We're still around?
Yeah. Oh, shoot.
Everything's...
And yeah, exactly. And and everything they said back when he was elected in 08 is coming true. No.
Oh.
Wow.
Really?
Listen to Jefferson State of Mind on Saturday for now, and then on Sunday mornings right before our show, they'll be here. There's been a change in the lineup. We are now in the slot from 9 to 11, and every Sunday now it'll be Sovereign Mind Radio.
Yeah, and then Red and I are, Robert and I are from 8 to 9 until Kayla can come over in December, and State of Jefferson will be there.
My sister's taking over. She's sitting in my spot.
That's
she has
right.
My plug in. This is something's gonna.
You snooze, you lose. This is what happens. This is where the true power
this
is.
This will be.
And, yeah, people only know.
I will have vengeance. Jefferson State of Mind again. Right before our show, 8 to 9. We also want you and encourage you to go to the ShastaLantern.com, and we are going to be. Ramping that up even more so. We've got big plans, and so stay tuned, and that will
nice.
Come to fruition.
That comes out once a month still right now, correct?
Comes out once a month. It's going to be we got powerful, powerful stuff coming, and we're going to turn into the news to go to for the North State. So that's on the way. The quote of the day, running away from any problem only increases the distance from the solution. The easiest way to escape from a problem is to solve it.
Wow. A lot of people need to take that into consideration.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
yeah, I do. Actually, we had the parade yesterday. Just wanted to throw it out there. I guess it turned out really well. We have the tea party on Monday night that we're doing a little bit of a nice program for the veterans. And then Tuesday, of course, is Veterans Day out at the cemetery at 10:55 is the flyover. And the ceremony begins at 11. So it's always nice to have a lot of people come out there and show their support and out at the cemetery. And then, of course, we have coming up in December, we have a lot of activities on December 14th. We have Christmas for the Troops, where we send packages across to the people, men and women that are deployed. And we'll be holding that this year at the Senior Citizen Hall at 2290 Benton Drive. Cost for the ticket is $15. That includes your meal, but we take the $15 to ship the packages over. That's about what it costs us to ship them over. And then on December 20th, we have Servicemen's Feast. We feed all the firemen and veterans and policemen down at the Veterans Hall at 1605 Yuba Street from 3 to 7. And that is a free meal. I also wanted to let people know that if you go online, there's a lot of businesses in the area on Veterans Days that are giving free meals, whether it's Famous Dave's, Cattlemen's. You know, there's just a whole lot of things available out there for you. Also, a lot of the stores give discounts, so you may want to go check that out online and see what you can find for Veterans Day.
Very good, very good. I guess we'll start off today with our first story. And this comes from Rolling Stone. This came in last week, and this is another awesome article by Matt Tabby. And, the title of it is The 9 Million, I'm sorry, The 9 Billion, as in B, Billion Witness, Meet J.P. Morgan Chase's Worst Nightmare. Seems that there's a woman who was working for J.P. Morgan Chase. Her name is Elaine Fleischman. Couldn't take it anymore. And so she was involved in the mortgage-backed securities. She's an attorney that was supposed to be overseeing and watching this stuff. And evidently, Jamie Dimon paid $9 billion in order for her not to talk, to keep her testimony from being public, made a backroom deal with Eric Holder so that...
I'll say it's not so.
Oh, I know. I mean, good grief, you know. So here's this lady who's trying to testify to talk about all the corruption that's been going on there, how her supervisors wouldn't let him send emails. If they sent emails to the supervisor, he'd come out and yell at him because, you know, they didn't want no tracking. You know, they don't want no emails to tell what they're doing.
They don't want the truth out there at all.
They don't want the truth. So basically they're taking these mortgage-backed securities and repackaging them and selling them as AA, AAA products. Only they are subprime mortgage loans.
Isn't that like fraud?
Yeah, last time I checked, that was fraud.
Okay.
Thus the $9 billion payoff. But, you know, she was blocked at every turn, and the asleep-on-the-job regulators like the Securities and Exchange Commission and a court system, they used billions to bury her evidence. And finally, by officials like the outgoing Attorney General, Eric Holder, the chief architect of the crazily elaborate government policy of surrender, secrecy, and cover-up. Yeah, these guys aren't corrupt. Basically they paid them off to not to take it to court and go away. Now, what private citizen goes to the attorney general and bribes them so that this doesn't go to criminal action? Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Very interesting article. And they talk about how they took the company that was basically subprime mortgages going into default. And, one of the things she said in here is that if we could lose everything if we don't start speaking up, we're going to get the biggest financial cover-up in history. You know, the banks, again, you know, right in the middle of this thing. So, these crappy loans, they – gosh, I got a tickle in my throat here. Go ahead.
So that means that we're not, what do I want to say with the people? We're trying to cover it up so people don't know really what's going on, that we're getting ready to crash out there.
Well,
and they're going to hide it once again.
Well, this is what part of what actually crashed the system in 2008 was these securities that they've been selling. And it's funny that, you know, a lot of people have been selling, been buying these things without even knowing them. You know, your hedge funds, things like CalPERS, you know, government pensions have been buying these fraudulent based mortgage-backed securities.
Okay, so they've been buying them with money that they printed that wasn't really money to begin with.
Well, that's in the mix too. But no, I mean, they've been selling these things and they've made a lot of money off of this. So I really encourage everybody to go look at this article. And there's also a video that goes with it. And basically this lady's blowing the whistle to tell everybody that these guys are you know,
criminals once again.
Pretty much criminals all the way around. So. And this is all coming to fruition because this isn't going to go away, because these mortgage-backed securities that have been sold out in the marketplace paper is not. And so you're going to see defaults on these more and more and more as things go by. And gee, is that going to have an effect on CalPERS and all these hedge funds? Yeah, that could sink the economy.
Exactly. More than what it's sinking. At a faster rate than what we're thinking right now.
Yeah, you know, and it's just funny, you know, these guys, should be put in jail, and they're not. They just buy their way out of it, and they keep doing it. Nothing stopped, and so it's just one of those things that just goes on and on and on and on. So, with that, I think we need to go to a break. I need to get some water here because I can't seem to get this tickle out of my throat.
Okay, so if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Yeah,
we're getting there. Here we go. Yeah.
A network want to treat me right. Y'all can take the change and stick it out of sight. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for some good news? We're gonna take back our country.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas Tynan and holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
back. Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire and North State culture for free speech, I think.
Yeah, the community radio and everything. And to get the truth out there and let people know what really is happening.
Yeah, the stuff that you just can't get mainstream. You know, going back into this Rolling Stone article, Matt Tabby's been really instrumental on, you know, I suggest you read all of his articles on the banking industry because it's just scathing. And, you know, he's also saying in this report that the, you know, basically Holter at a speech in September at NYU, defended the lack of prosecution for the top executives on the grounds that in the corporate context, sometimes bad things just happen without actual people being responsible. Responsibility remains so diffuse and top executives so insulated, Holter said, that any misconduct could again be considered more a symptom of the institution's culture than the result of willful actions of any single individual. In other words, people don't commit crimes. Corporate culture commits crimes. It's
unreal.
Do you believe these guys? I mean, oh, nobody's really responsible. Nobody gave the order to sell this junk out onto the market. And like you say, the government pensions have bought in a lot of purchased a lot of this stuff. And I'm telling you, you know, it's like I was listening to one of the city council members yesterday. She doesn't believe that there's any trouble on the horizon, that we're solvent and there's not going to be any problems. And, you know, they're just...
For now.
For now.
It's all
for
good.
Now, yeah. But I guess, you know, the fact that we're approaching an $18 trillion deficit and the banking industry is nothing but corrupt and controlling and the government is in cahoots with them and they're borrowing money and printing it and counterfeiting it. Gee, there's no problem at all and it's not going to affect us here at the local level.
With that, I believe we have Don from Reading on the line. Are you there, Don?
I certainly am. Good morning to you both.
Good morning. What can we do for you?
Just wondered if anybody read the either this month's Rolling Stone or last month's on the Koch brothers and how they control America. There's a real story there. Don't just read one side of the coin now. You know, you have to balance your information out.
Absolutely. But, you know, the Koch brothers.
I'm really happy about the outcome of the Reading City Council. For the first time in history, the Reading history, there is a plurality of female voters, of female council members.
So it should be based.
Rule the roost for. All these years.
Shouldn't it matter what their policies are?
Have a different tax sometimes, and it's important.
Don, I'm going to shut you down if you don't stop filibustering here. Shouldn't it be a matter of what their policies are and not their gender?
Pardon?
Shouldn't it be matter not so much what their gender is as to what their policies are?
That females tend to take a different tact in creating solutions and outcomes on matters of governments. So it's
really?
They might, but that doesn't excuse the idea of the truth and their integrity.
Where's the proof of that, Don? Where's the proof that women's thought processes are better than men in forward thinking in government? Is that a study you're citing, or is it just your personal opinion?
Party who opposed it, because that would have created some real crime prevention here in downtown Reading, where I happen to live, and hundreds of people do. I walk the streets of Reading every morning for exercise, and I can see firsthand the homeless and the crime that goes on in downtown Reading. And all we were going to have to do is pay 0.25 cent, nothing, you know.
Well, let me ask you a question, Don. Let me ask you a question. There's been women on the city council for, what, the last 4 or 5 years? And
just not the majority.
Not a majority. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I'm talking about a simple majority of female minds who are capable of making rational and realistic decisions. That's where it lies. I mean, all you have to do is a little psychological study.
Okay, let's take one for example. What about Nancy Pelosi?
I don't want to dwell on.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. If that's so, then should we read the bill before you know it's passed or after it's passed?
Well,
if we're using the model of that women are rational and they make great decisions, what about Nancy Pelosi not reading the bill before it was passed? That was what she said.
I'm talking local.
Let's go local with Nancy.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. So the gender thing is only local, is what you're saying?
I can't control what Nancy Pelosi says.
Francie Sullivan. We can do it on a local level. We can do it on a local level. Yeah. What about you said Francie Sullivan? Her main objective for the state of Jefferson was her thought process, we had to have a Major League Baseball team.
Yeah, she didn't want to live in a state with a Major League Baseball team or didn't have a Major League Baseball team. Is that the kind of objectivism that you're talking about?
Yes.
I mean, give me some examples of objectivism that a female are more rational than males in any government agency, period, local, state, or federal.
Well, it doesn't matter whether it's male or female. The idea is it's the person, it's their integrity, it's how truthful they are.
The policies.
It's the policies. It has nothing to do with your gender.
Well, you can say what you want, you can think what you want.
That's true.
I can present my side of the coin as well, can't I?
Sure.
Yes, you can.
Absolutely, you can, Don. But I can also challenge you. I can also challenge you on the facts.
Logical and
based on what, Don? Based on what? Your personal opinion? Based on where's the evidence?
Pick out one person like Francie Sullivan one issue. You're not talking about.
I can pick out multiple people on multiple issues. Where is your evidence? What
indicates? I told you, go do a little study in psychology and you'll see it.
A little study in psychology proves that women make more rational decisions than men.
You bet.
Point me in the right direction. What little study are you talking about?
Google any psychological study or article on women and relevant thinking. Just try that. You know, Google it.
Okay.
You know, Google's there for us to find out things.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that it's always truthful just because you Google it. You still have to do your homework.
Well, of course, anything's not truthful. But, you know, if you don't get balanced points of view, you have a one-sided thinking pattern, don't you?
Sure, absolutely. And it seems like that you have a one-sided thinking pattern that women make more rational decisions
than men. To your point of view,
and
I try to sift it out and wonder what it's all about and where it came from.
Sure, me too.
And
I like facts.
I don't know.
I like facts, Don. I like facts that are supportable by evidence. And you know, I'm looking at different.
Reach out there and try.
What's that?
Reach out there and do some little research on.
I think you ought to apply the same philosophy that you're trying to apply to me to yourself. Do you look at both sides of the? You know, let's take the Koch brothers for example.
Fox News. I watch MSNBC. I watch CNN. I try to balance it out. You bet I do.
Well, I get
kind of one-sided there, just naming those there. Not fair and balanced.
I get most of my news from other sources other than the television because I think mainstream news.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
So
yeah.
I just think mainstream TV
radio,
is just ridiculous.
TV, I read on. And you know what? And I travel abroad, and I get international news as well.
Absolutely.
I BBC every day.
Very good. Well, I'm glad you called in, Don. You know, I mean,
we have some great.
We can agree to disagree.
Look forward to over the next 4 years. I think the council will be far more, shall we say, cohesive, and come up with some very good outcomes over the next 4 years.
Well, the cohesiveness has never left. I mean, it's always been 3-4-1 the votes anyway. So the fact that that you've got Jones out of there is not going to change anything. And these guys are going to be the ones that are now being held accountable to it because they're going to own this now. And if if things don't turn out the way that you think they are supposed to, we need to have another conversation in a couple of years. And let's see if maybe it's not quite as Pollyanna as you think.
Politics is like that, isn't it? It's fickle.
Yeah, but I don't have a problem who sits on city council as long as they stick to the Constitution and its principles. I don't have a problem with their gender as.
Well,
what do you think about Sullivan putting the public comment to the end of the public comment period to the end of the city council meetings? You don't find that to be a little bit offensive as far as...
I think that has a time period as well. Isn't that up in December?
Well, why would you do that right during the election?
Well, who voted for it? Wasn't it 3-2?
Same old story. Missy.
It wasn't a Sullivan thing. It was a 3-2. Three people.
Yeah, Sullivan, MacArthur, and Bassetti.
It was three people.
Right. Sullivan, MacArthur, and Bassetti.
It doesn't matter why they did it.
It doesn't matter why they did it. That's like saying no matter what they do.
Oh, starting in January, it'll be, as far as I know, at the beginning of the session. And the same people who come and rant and give their opinion will have their opportunity to do that.
So it's all about the people. It's all about people that rant.
Nothing to do with the election.
Well, in other words, we don't want people ranting.
Any outcome.
We don't want people ranting at city council before an election that might be telling people
they had an opportunity to rant at the end.
Yeah, and everybody can stay up till 11 o'clock at night and hopefully get a chance.
All the young mothers and young family people can stay up until midnight to get their opinion.
Very few city council meetings went past 10 o'clock, and you know that.
Well, okay, so how many people can stay up till 10 o'clock hoping they get a slot?
Those who are interested.
And then the question is why?
That's not totally true.
But wait, the question is why would you do that?
You'd have to ask those three.
Oh. So common sense doesn't dictate that they did that to shut the people up so they wouldn't have public comment before?
They had comment afterwards.
Yeah, how much comment?
I don't know.
Yeah,
how amount of time? As they did before or after?
Well, anyway.
I don't know why you think before or after a city council meeting has any bearing on an election.
I'll tell you how many can
participate in the public comment,
Let me ask you this. How many of these council meetings have you been to at 10 o'clock at night?
A few.
I see. And so,
what
do you think is more favorable to people to have public comment at 6 before or public comment at 10 so they can sit through 3 or 4 hours before they can make a comment? Do you think that's favorable to free speech or is it shutting free speech up? I guess that's the question.
No, it's not shutting free speech. There's free speech either way, before or after. And people who go there for one issue get up and leave anyway.
Okay, so why shouldn't they be listened to before they have the council meetings? And also, why wouldn't they have the agenda posted way before that as well so that they could have public comment with people?
The agenda's online.
But it's not posted until...
it's not always posted.
It's online, so you can go and get it before.
Just the day of sometimes.
The day of.
It's not always...
Yeah, why wouldn't they post it a week before?
Well, then somebody should go before the council and ask for an ordinance to change that or whatever it takes.
Okay. Well,
and the same way for the time. If a group of people do not like it, the agenda or public comment before or after, they need to go before the council with a petition and change it. Mm-hmm. That's simple.
Well, people have gone before the council on that one.
Yeah.
They have gone before the council on that one.
Yeah, and they just get ignored because they don't really care. And that's the truth. The truth is they don't really want to hear public comment. What they wanted to do was stifle public comment and put it towards the end so less people would show up because that was the result.
And most people wanted it in the beginning, and we are the ones that they work for.
Now, who's we?
Across the board.
The community. The community.
I think you mean the Tea Party. Why don't you just say
No, it's not just the Tea Party. There's a lot of other people that were making comments prior to the unions, the Measure A people, against Measure B people, a lot of people. And they're not all Tea Party guys. They're the community.
It had no bearing in the outcome on the election. You cannot prove
it. I'm not saying it did. I'm saying what was the point? I asked, is there any reason why they would do it during the election?
Well, that's irrelevant if it has no bearing.
What do you mean it's irrelevant? Why would you do it during the election cycle? What difference does that make and then have it come out after the election cycle? Why wouldn't you?
I would use the word happenstance. That someone.
Oh, they just happenstance. In other words, it didn't really matter, but we'll do it anyway just because. Uh-huh. Really?
So you're still thinking it had an outcome, some outcome on the election.
I'm saying what the reason is. I'm just using logical reasoning to find out why did they do it if it didn't matter.
Well, guess what? It's over anyway, because again...
So that's the answer. Guess what? It's over. Don, thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, Don.
We
got to get somebody else on the line.
We have Billy Bob from Palo Cedro. Are you there, Billy Bob?
Yes.
Hey, are you wanting to weigh in on this, or do you have a question or comment on this?
I just couldn't reach... Hey, Mark, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Bill?
I just couldn't resist. What tree did that guy fall out of?
I don't know. I think it was the illogical tree because, you know.
Remember, what was that actor that was up the one flew over the cuckoo's nest?
that would have been Jack Nicholson and and McMurphy was his name in the book.
Yeah, his dark ass naked sitting up in that tree. Give me a break.
Anyway, it's kind of funny that you can spin logic on some of this stuff. Where does it come from that females are more logical than men in government? I mean,
what difference does it matter? I mean, I'm a female, okay? I will have to say, yeah, that most of the time we are more logical.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. But that has nothing to do with why you elect somebody because they're female or male, really? That's like because you have a D or R after your name?
That's why I vote for you?
Really?
The argument and your patience with this guy was remarkable, Mark. I have to hand it to you.
Thanks.
You know, the old Bodville hook, you know, when it comes in and grabs some guy and pulls him off the stage.
Yeah, you know, you can't reason with somebody who's not going to use facts for his arguments. I mean, yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, I just wanted to make a point in contradiction to this guy in the fact that without Jones and Quinn on that city council, we're in trouble.
Well, they're going to own it. In some ways, I think it's a good thing, you know, because they're going to own it now. There's no saying it's somebody else's fault. There's no saying it's divisiveness. There's no saying that, you know, that nobody can agree. Now they're going to own this. And if it doesn't go the way they think it's going to go according to plan, you know, they're not in trouble. There's no problems. The city's moving on. Guess what? If that is not the case, then they're going to own it.
Well, again, I appreciate your show and everything you do. And again, with people like the one you just had on the air, boy, I'll tell you what, we're in for a long road to hoe.
Well, the only thing that those people will understand is when it slaps them in the face. And I mean that figuratively. In other words, the only thing that when reality finally hits home that we are in financial trouble, then they're going to blame us anyway.
Well, it's like the
they never can own up to it.
Well, it's the proverbial, you know, the cowboy riding the horse, and then until the tree limb it swipes him off the saddle. You know,
anyway,
passes. Okay, I'll let you guys.
All right, thanks.
Thank you for calling in. We have another caller, Charles.
We better take a break first.
Okay, we'll take a break and come back and pick up Charles.
All right. There you go.
If you want to call in, the hotline is open at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
All aboard!
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Hi, this is Linda Bai. Join me here on KCNR 1460 AM at 6 p.m. on Thursday nights for On the Spot with Linda Bott. You'll hear wonderful interviews with musicians, artists, winemakers, chefs, business owners, and designers, just to name a few. Girls just want to have fun, and we do. Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here with On the Spot with Linda Bott. Brought to you by La Tida Salon, Dandelion Boutique, Crackmaster Windshield and Repair, and Wind River Casino and Hotel.
Our world needs caring professionals to make a positive impact in our communities. Simpson University's Master's in Counseling Psychology degree prepares you for a career in marriage and family therapy. Our award-winning faculty brings practical clinical expertise and research into the classroom. Attend classes in the evening and earn your degree in just 2 years. Apply before March 1st. Classes begin in August. Be empowered to make a difference. Call today at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
We're just having fun here now. Thanks, Bob. That was kind of appropriate, maybe.
Locally.
Locally, that's
locally, we're just having fun.
Although, I'm not sure. When they climb the ladder, do they get dumber or what? Because I guess locally, they start out really smart, and then I guess when they climb up the food chain and they get to the federal government, they just get dumb fast. Maybe when you get your palms greased, it makes you dumber.
I'm leaving that alone. I'm just not going to go there right now.
Okay.
We have Charles on the line. Charles, do you have a question or comment or what do you have for us this morning?
Well, a couple of previous call, not the immediately previous caller, but the one before him.
Yeah.
Is a fine example of someone who got in touch with his feelings and in touch with his softer side and totally disregarded truth, logic, and reason.
Kind of makes you think of Al Franken and Stuart Smiley, doesn't it? And
when you substitute pop psych for
logic,
truth, logic, and reason, then and if you take that substitution into the voting booth, God help us.
Well,
evidently a few did.
I guess we'll find out here pretty soon. It always reminds me of that little speech by Jack Nicholson in the elevator where he's talking about, what he thinks about women. Truth, accountability, take away reason.
Be careful where you go there. You can't lump us all together there.
Well, what would Don have said about some female leaders who really did make a positive difference, like Maggie Thatcher, for example.
Hmm. Yeah. Or how about Mia Love in Utah that the media ignored completely because she was a black conservative and,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, they're out there.
It's only women from a certain ideological bend.
Hmm. Yeah, because Michelle Bachmann's an idiot, too, right? I mean, that's probably...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, anybody who's a conservative. Anyway, let's quit picking on. Let's quit picking on Don. Have you got something to add? Because I got a video we got to play, Charles, before we get to the top of the hour.
It's the issues that are confronting the city didn't just go away by magic because people gave in to a bunch of cotton candy rhetoric. Cotton candy. Has a lot of sweetness, a lot of artificial coloring. Occupies a lot of airspace.
Pollyanna candy.
But it has no substance to it.
Rainbows and lollipops.
Well, we're kind of like, you know, collectively, we're kind of like the prodigal son. We've demanded our inheritance. We're telling our father to go kick sand. But sooner or later, the day of reckoning is coming, just as it did for the prodigal son.
That's true. Listen, we got to go, Charles, because I want to get this video in
all
before
right.
our guest comes
all right, well,
up.
Thanks for calling in.
We appreciate
all
your
right.
call.
All right, have a great day.
Okay, you want to go ahead and get that video queued up there, Bob? The one about it's a little bit long. I wish I couldn't get the whole thing on here, but I want to play it because I want to talk about this civil forfeiture and get it out on the table, and so we can explore this, because this is going to be a subject that people are going to want to know about.
The police. They protect us, they serve us, and they provide us with an endless source of TV show one-liners.
Rock, paper, scissors,
gun.
Well, I'm no Serena Williams, but I know one thing. It's all in the wrist.
Who'd want to cut your penis off?
Take a number.
Okay, now, you laugh, but admit it, you want to watch the rest of that episode right now. Now, look. Public trust in the police is one of the most vital elements in a civilized society. But for many Americans, that trust has been undermined by a procedure called civil forfeiture. Now, I know it sounds like a Gwyneth Paltrow euphemism for divorce, but incredibly, it's actually even worse than that.
Civil asset forfeiture is really a mechanism by which the state and federal government can seize people's property without having to convict them of a crime. Most people can't afford to hire a lawyer to challenge it. It's really legalized robbery by law enforcement.
And think about it. That is a tough crime to report to the police. Give me a description of what the guy looked like. Well, to be honest, he looked a lot like the guy currently asking me what the guy looked like. And if you think this sounds bad, just wait until you see how it looks. Because the Washington Post recently published a major investigation featuring stories like that of this man, who was driving from Michigan to San Francisco with $2,400 in cash that his dad had lent him to start a new job when he was pulled over in Nevada.
I gave him my license and registration, and then as he was looking at that information, he asked me how much money I was traveling with.
Lee told him about the money his dad gave him, which he kept in the trunk.
He told me to turn on my air vents on high and roll up my windows and get out of the car because he was going to run a canine around it.
Dove didn't find drugs, but he did find the $2,400.
He said, no, I'm going to keep the money because I've concluded through my investigation here that you are traveling from Michigan to California to purchase drugs.
Wow. I mean, there is so much wrong there, including the fact that any policeman who genuinely believes you need to travel from Michigan to California to purchase drugs needs to be introduced to the concept of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Okay? It's right there. And the problem is, stories like that are surprisingly common. In fact, since 9/11, under just one program, police have taken $2.5 billion in the course of over 61,000 seizures of cash alone from people who, and this is the mind-blowing part, were not charged with a crime. That is the sort of police behaviour that we laugh at other countries for, along with their accents and silly hats. The way civil forfeiture generally works is that if the police believe they have a preponderance of the evidence that suggests your property was or could be used in a crime, they may confiscate it. And it gets even weirder.
Many folks are unfamiliar with the idea of civil forfeiture, which is actually a case brought against directly against a piece of property where you don't need to be proven guilty of a crime for your goods to be taken away.
Exactly. You don't need to be charged with a crime because it's not you that's on trial, it's your stuff. That's why these cases have historically had eye-catching names, such as, and all of these are real, United States versus $8,850 in U.S. currency, United States versus an article consisting of 50,000 cardboard boxes, more or less, each containing one pair of cracker balls, and United States versus approximately 64,695 pounds of shark fins, which must have been an amazing court case. And do you see those shark fins in the room right now? Yes! There they are! There they are! Let the record show the witness is pointed at roughly 65,000 pounds of shark fins. Guilty, guilty. And it's also worth noting that your possessions generally have fewer protections under the law than you do.
Under civil forfeiture laws, your property is guilty
until you prove it innocent. How can that be possible? At this point, I'm surprised objects don't have their own civil rights leader, like Martin Scooter King or Harvey Carton of Milk. Now, to be fair, civil forfeiture laws have had some positive consequences. They've crippled powerful drug traffic organizations, thwarted criminals, and returned billions of dollars to victims. The problem is that many police departments are allowed to keep most or all of the money they seize. And knowing that starts to make you wonder about the motivations of these kinds of questions.
Is there any large amounts of cash in the vehicle?
Are there any large sums of money over $5,000 in cash in the vehicle?
How much money you got?
Any large amounts of U.S. currency in there?
I'll take whatever cash you got in there, and is that a Slurpee in the cup holder? What flavour? Grape? Never mind. Do you know what? I will take it. I'll take it. The question, do you have cash in the vehicle, is surprisingly common in traffic stops, and the police are prepared to overcome any language barrier to ask it.
Tiene mucho mucho dinero en su truck y trailer?
Let's be clear. He just said, Tiene mucho mucho dinero en su truck y trailer. Which sounds like an alien's first attempt to communicate with humans after crash landing in a Taco Bell. In fact, let's all just pause for a moment to enjoy that sentence, because every single word of it is funny. First, Tenny, pronounced incorrectly. Mucho, one of the few words he knows in Spanish. Mucho, repeated word. De Niro, a famed actor. In, a rapid shift to English. Sue, rapid shift back to Spanish. Trucky trailer. Trucky trailer. Now, it's magnificent. That is magnificent. It's a work of art. Now, this happened in Tennessee, a state where local law enforcement authorities are allowed to keep as much as 100% of the proceeds from civil forfeitures. A local news investigation found multiple troubling cases of people having money seized, such as George Reby, who had $20,000 seized after he was stopped for speeding. The police officer argued it was drug money, despite the fact that Reby had a pretty good explanation.
I told them I had active bids on eBay that I was trying to buy a vehicle, and they just didn't want to hear it.
In fact, Reby had proof on his computer, but the Monterey officer drew up a damning affidavit, citing his own training that common people do not carry this much U.S. currency.
And did he tell you that he was trying to buy a car?
He did.
But you did not include that in your report.
If it's not in there, I didn't put it in there.
So why would you leave that out?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? I expect a better answer from a police officer than a four-year-old who just spilled grape juice on the couch. What happened to your drink? I don't know. If it's not in my glass, it's not in my glass. I don't know. I don't know. And look, it's not always just a roadside stop. In 2008, police raided the Contemporary Art Institute of Detroit during its funk night because it didn't have a liquor license, seizing 44 cars under the argument that simply driving vehicles to the location of an unlawful sale of alcohol was sufficient to seize a car. Which means you may as well seize any car driven by any teenager on prom night, because they are all going to Chad's place. Chad's got the hookup. We actually managed to get the security video of that Detroit raid, and you can see the police burst in and arrest people with the disco lights still swirling in the single funkiest shakedown in human history. They each had to pay $900 to get their cars out of the impound, with the exception of the one person whose car was actually stolen from the lot to which it had been towed. Which seems like the sort of thing the police should be investigating if they weren't too busy raiding art gallery funk nights. And at this point, you may be thinking, well, sure, the police departments are getting a lot of money from seizing stuff, but I'm sure there are limitations on how they can spend it. Well, allow me to take you to a 2012 Columbia, Missouri Citizen Police Review Board hearing.
How do you decide forfeiture funds?
You know, it's usually based on a need. Well, I'll take that back.
Discretion, though, I'd imagine you sign off on.
Yeah, there's some limitations on it. You know, it's actually there's not really on the forfeiture stuff.
Actually, there's basically no limitations at all. Come to think of it, there's we're essentially gods. We're gods. We're like the anti-Spider-Man. Great power, no responsibility. I can't believe this hasn't come up before. And look, his honesty was not over.
We just usually base it on something that would be nice to have, that we can't get in the budget, for instance. So, you know, we try not to use it for things that we need to depend on, you know, because we need to go ahead and have those purchased. But it's kind of like pennies from heaven, you know, it gets you a toy or something that you need, is the way we typically look at it.
That's right. That's right. They buy toys with pennies from heaven. Well, they should know, those pennies may not be falling from heaven so much as from the pockets of the people they're holding upside down and shaking. And in terms of what kind of toys police departments buy, that really depends. For instance, in Massachusetts, one DA's office used forfeiture money to buy their own Zamboni. Even though, auditors noted, we could not determine where this machine was located or the law enforcement purpose it serves. Although that last one is obvious. Just think about it. Because if you are robbing a bank and the police pull up in a Zamboni, you're going to give yourself up just out of sheer curiosity. And in Texas, one DA's office had an even more imaginative idea. And I'll let a concerned citizen at a public hearing tell you all about it.
With or without a law degree, everyone here knows that purchases of kegs of beer, margarita machines, and bottles of Crown Royal for office parties, as was done in Montgomery County, don't qualify as expenses for official purposes.
That's true. In Texas, they bought a margarita machine. They were literally using this money as their own personal slush fund. They were literally... It's perfect. The analogy is perfect. And look. If the police need money for equipment, we should clearly be giving it to them. And if they need money for margarita machines, they should be f***ing paid for that themselves. But these civil forfeiture laws have warped law enforcement priorities and perception. And nowhere is that more clear than Philadelphia.
Philadelphia officials over a 10-year period have seized more than 1,000 houses, about 3,300 vehicles, and $44 million in cash and civil forfeitures.
Holy shit. Usually when someone describes something taking 3,000 vehicles and 1,000 houses, they're talking about a fucking hurricane. Now, one of those houses belongs to the Soravelis family, and the reason for that seizure seems a little harsh from the outside.
Police arrested their 22-year-old son, Yanni, on drug charges, $40 worth of heroin, and claim he was selling drugs out of the home. Police and prosecutors came armed with a lawsuit against the house itself.
Exactly, because remember, the parents aren't on trial, the house is, which is clearly ridiculous. The only drug-containing house that needs a lawsuit against it is this one. You're on the edge. You're on the edge, house. You're this close. You're this close to losing your job. You're good, damn it. You're good, house. You're close, house. You're close, but you're good. But you're so close. But you're so good, house. And once their house was seized, the Soravelises got to experience the final problem with civil forfeiture. Recourse can be incredibly difficult.
Here in Philadelphia, if you have your property taken, you can come here to City Hall and go to courtroom 478 and try to get it back. Problem is, the people that are taking the belongings are also the ones calling the shots inside the courtroom. The Soravelises showed up to courtroom 478 ready to plead their case to a judge. Instead, they say they faced a prosecutor from the DA's office.
That's right. Their first step in challenging the police seizing their property was in a courtroom without a judge hearing their case. How can you even still call that a courtroom? If you take all the doctors out of a hospital and replace them with otters, that's no longer a hospital. It's better, it's much better, but it's not a hospital. I don't know what, I love it, but it's not a hospital. In fact, recourse is so difficult that most people who've lost stuff to civil forfeiture just choose to walk away rather than fight. So at this point, it should seem obvious that the bad may be starting to outweigh the good with civil forfeiture laws. So we've really got two choices. We can take a hard look at reforming them, or, at the very least, we need to reform our network cop dramas to make them a lot more representative of what is actually happening.
Coming soon. Law and Order. Civil Asset Forfeiture Unit.
Yeah, they go on in that clip to start interrogating Cash on the table, and they handcuff the house. And, you know, I wanted to play that because I think there's going to be a lot more that everybody starts realizing that this civil asset forfeiture is out of control because under federal law, they can seize cars, cash, homes, anything they may believe to have been used or might be. Now might be used to commit a crime. So if you're thinking about smoking or growing or doing something that is no longer, boy, we just come in and we just take your house. Or like in the example there, you know, the kid was on drugs, but why did they take the parents' house?
It's just way over the top.
So
this is just way over the top.
It's way over the top, and that's the kind of control that we've given these guys. And so we're going to go to a break now and come back. And
yep, this top of the hour.
Yep.
And so we're going to get cut off, but we'll be back in a few minutes. This is KCNR 1460.
Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war.
More Sovereign Minds next on KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Members of Congress returning to Capitol Hill this week will face a debate over President Obama's new $5.6 billion plan to expand the U.S. mission in Iraq and send up to 1,500 more soldiers. The president has a friend in GOP Congressman Daryl Issa who says he supports the plan to send more troops.
If we're to protect the gains we made against Islamic extremism, my Marines from Camp Pendleton and others are going to have to go back again.
He spoke on ABC TV this morning. Today, President Obama is on his way to China. It's the first stop on a three-nation diplomatic trip. The White House is promising a vigorous defense when the Supreme Court hears a new case involving Obamacare. Here's SRN's Greg Clugston.
White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest says the intent behind the law is for eligible customers to receive help from the government to purchase health care. He says the administration has high confidence in the legal argument in favor of that provision.